Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise this morning. We come in rejoicing. We come in with such thanksgiving. And Lord, that this praise, God, that you've placed in our hearts, God, may it just go up to you, Lord Jesus, and in such thanksgiving. And we sing about this mountain. We sing about a river. Well, that's our life, Lord God. Lord, it seems impossible, but so thankful to you, Lord God. It's what you love. You love the impossible, and you love us, Lord God, and how you care for us, Jesus, and you take such sweet time with us and comfort us, Lord God. And all the way along, you just let us know. We hear it all the time. I love you. I'm in love with you. Lord, let us hear it today like never before. God, let us cause us to arise, to rise up and to run well. We thank you for it, God. Strengthen us today. As our elder prayed this morning, Lord, you prepared our hearts. Now open our ears to hear it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles up. We'll begin in Revelation chapter 2. But I was thinking how, you know, God, again, has drawn each and every one of us here today. And I thank the Lord. It's always the well. It's always the well. It's always the Word of God. And I thank the Lord. That's all the Lord will ever draw you to is the well. But I thank God. He has truly given us such a privilege and a blessing that He's drawn us to this well today to meet His servant. He's drawn us here to meet His servant. And I think about God and how wonderful He is. And let me tell you something. God knows what you want. Yes, He does. Because whom He foreknew. I want you to really receive that this morning. God knew what you would receive. God knew what you would want. Because He that foreknew. He foreknew you. Them He did predestinate. And I thank God, it's just like a Rebecca. We have a divine appointment to meet the Holy Ghost, His servant, and be ministered the heart of the bridegroom. Do you realize that that was the only message that that servant Eliezer had to give? The only message that he had to give. The only encouragement that he had and was received to give was one message. My master's son is going to have a wife. And what was given to that servant by the father, by the master, he said, you don't need to fret about it. She'll meet you. She'll be there. Now, he didn't know who it would be, but I'll tell you one thing. That was a divine appointment. Divine. And praise be to God, I thank the Lord, that divine appointment is us. God knew, and God foreknew. And God foreknew your heart, He foreknew mine, and praise the Lord, He sent that messenger, the Holy Ghost. And we have a divine appointment at the well. And there's one message that that precious servant has. And that's to know that the heart of the master's son wants you for his wife. Now you think of that. You think of that wonderful servant that's been sent to us, praise be to God, to show us and to reveal without any doubt. My master's son is in love with you. And the only reason for that message is for you to know it and then for you to respond and to fall in love with the master's son. So it is about first love, isn't it? It's about first love. It's about falling in love. It's about staying in love. And in Revelation chapter 2, we read of the church of Ephesus. And we begin reading of this church in verse 1. And it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And see, that's going on today. See, right now, God is searching. He's seeking the true worshiper who worships his Son in spirit and in truth. This seeking is for, as it says in the Word of God, the merchant is seeking for that goodly pearl. He has sold all that he has. He has given everything that he has. God gave us everything in his Son Jesus to find that goodly pearl for his Son. And so the Lord is seeking. He's searching out through the church. Praise God. We know that is a fact. We know that, as it was even said of Abraham, Abraham sent that servant not out to the world. He sent that servant to find the wife from his people. From his people. And the Lord, praise God, is seeking this precious jewel, this wondrous bride for his Son, amongst the church. And that's what's going on right now. And by the grace of God, I'll tell you what, I want him to find me. He says, what does he say to this church? He says, I know thy works. I know thy labor. I know thy patience. It's amazing. God knows everything, doesn't he? And how thou cannot bear them which are evil. That's a good thing, isn't it? Praise God. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That's wonderful. That means they know the word of God. Isn't that beautiful? They know the word of God. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. That means this precious church, they haven't left the truth. They haven't fainted from it. They're still in fellowship with truth. But one thing, that verse 4 hit really heavy, and it hit real fast. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. All of that beautiful encouragement, all of that laboring, not fainting even for his name, staying in the truth, but yet there's been a falling away of the fellowship. They have refused this first love. They are not in love. They have fallen away from that. Yet you go over and read in chapter 3 of a church called Philadelphia. And in verse 7, it says, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. See, that's speaking of heaven. Let me tell you something. Heaven's open. And that precious bride's about ready to be taken up. And I'll tell you what, isn't it wonderful? It said that the Lord knew the works and the labors of that church of Ephesus, amen? But it didn't speak of an open door right now for them, did it? It said, I have somewhat against thee. You've fallen out of love. You're not in love with me. But this group, it says, I know thy works and I've set before thee an open door. An open door. See, Paul's gospel has an open door policy. That door is just open, open, open. It's just like the open door that Elijah, whoosh, there he went. It was just like the open door, praise be to God. And who was that? That was that precious Enoch. It said he walked with God and he was not, for he was just taken. See, those are the things for us, praise be to God. There's a company that's going to meet him in the air. And that door is open. For thou hast a little strength, it says, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I'll keep you from the tribulation. You're not even going into that. See, I'm not buying food and storing it in my basement. I'm not planning to live here any longer than the first trumpet blast. by the grace of God. And I know it's not my strength and I know it's not my effort, but I know, praise God, it's His promise. And His promise, praise the Lord, it says, you know what? Them that love my appearing. You love His appearing today? Yes, we do, praise God. And He says, I'm going to make them come and worship before thy feet, and I love this, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. See, there's no speaking here of I have somewhat against thee. There's no speaking that you've left your first love. There's just the commending and the cherishing and the encouragement. You're holding that first love. You're holding the crown. That's what the crown is. The crown is in love. The crown is the first love gospel. That's our crowning, praise God, is that He will make known to all that I have loved thee. Isn't that what a wedding is all about? Isn't that why we have couples come up here? Praise the Lord. That those spouses are making known to all that I love you. It's the greatest pledge of love that we know and understand as people, is two that come together for marriage. They leave home. God says, they join and I make them one. And what they profess is they come together. This is the one that I love. And that's coming. And I thank God. I love that so much. I will make known to all that I have loved thee. Just to compute that, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God, very God, has offered to you that divine appointment, praise God, that message, that one message that messenger has. And you know it. There is no other gospel. That's why Paul said, there is no other gospel. If any other preach any other gospel than I have preached to you, let them be accursed. When you fall out of first love, it's an accursed gospel. It is. You've turned your ear to something that isn't the one message of that messenger at the well. Will you marry the master's son? Do you want him? I have all the things in my hands of the master. It's all here. I'll put it on you. Praise God. That's the message. There wasn't any other thing. It wasn't you could come and work at the palace. It wasn't that you could come and stay and we have a community where you can live by it. It was one message. It was one thing. It was precise. It was a mark for the prize to marry the master's son. Isn't the word of God wonderful under the anointing of the Holy Ghost? There isn't anything else it could be. There isn't anything else it is. It is that message. It is that wondrous calling that we have. And I thank God for it. But to think the benefits of being in love with Him. The benefits. And the benefit of standing with Him someday. And making known to all that He loves me. It's not me saying, oh, I love Him. I'm telling you, it's about His love for us. That's what He's going to do. He didn't say you're going to come in there and you're going to bow down before me. No, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to get her and I'm going to set her up and I'm going to make known to all that I've loved her. Do you see that? Do you see I have forgiven your iniquities for my sake? That's how it began. Because I am going to have a wife. I'm going to have her. She's mine. And I've sent that wonderful Holy Ghost, that messenger down to 1701 South Sherman. Can't see the clock. I'm sure it's close to 12. With one message. You want to marry my son? And how about what we know in the hope of our calling? You will marry. It's not a hope. There wasn't a second choice at that well. It was one, she was there, and she received it. I say, Lord, thank you, God, for your grace that you've had on me and the mercy you've had on me, and I receive it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it is okay to be bold in the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God, and never stop saying, it's the grace of God that is with me. But you think about the benefits of being in love with him, and you really can't get over them. To rule and reign jointly together with him, to be glorified together with him, come on. Come on. I mean, I just sit here and go, oh, Lord. Now, falling in love is such a wonderful thing. Falling in love, the Word of God encourages us in our hearts. But falling in love brings physical benefits even to our natural bodies. Do you know that falling in love changes the way you think? Oh, man, I'll tell you. Sometimes I think falling in love, they quit thinking. But really, that's how it is with the Lord. You begin to really fall in love with him. I believe it's his mind that comes into you. You don't think with the natural mind anymore. You think with his mind. Our bodies, chemicals are released in your body. They flood your brain. They bring physical and psychological changes. I believe the Holy Ghost has done that to me and to you with the mind of the Spirit, has he not? Physical and psychological changes. Physical, you know why? Because that outward man perishes, doesn't he? But the inward man renewed day by day. Praise God. Yeah, we grow older. Some say I got a lot of, very few hair of gray up here, but I sure got a lot of gray down here. And it's okay. Don't need to hide it. My wife said to me, said, oh, honey, we got to do something about them bags under your eyes. Looking at me, I said, don't you love my bags? Because if Jesus don't take them away, I'll tell you what, they're here to stay. I want to change these eyes. I see him. I see him. He's been seeing me for a long time. Now I see him. But Romans 12:2, turn on over there. This is what happens. We begin to fall in love with him. 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word renew means a complete renovation, a change for the better. I love his mind. I got a complete renovation. I do. And people think I'm crazy. But I thank the Lord. Everybody thought the word of God was always crazy. Moses walking into Egypt and say, let my people go. Everybody knew he was crazy. Even the Jews thought he was crazy. But that's what God's about. Man would call it crazy. But God says, oh no, that's my power and that's my word. You go over to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's see who does that changing and renovation of your mind. It says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We're doing that today. Are changed into what? The same image. Changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost does. That's what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost, praise God, builds that glory in us. And that word change, it means changes our appearance and our brightness. I'm seeing a lot of glowing in loved ones here today. And that's good. It's real good. But after hearing about this, what the Lord encouraged my heart was to kind of go and look a few things up that, even naturally speaking, happen to our bodies and our minds as human beings fall in love. And the very first one that I came to was, when you fall in love, it reduces fear. I said, well, my, oh, my. That sure sounds a lot like 2 Timothy 1:7. And I thank God, our precious brother, my beloved son, Evan, this is what he preached on up at camp. He said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So if we're fearing something, God didn't give you that. If you're fearing something, man gave you that. Yes, he did. So God had not given us the spirit of fear, but what did he give us? He gave us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So see, again, it's the spirit. So the Holy Ghost, we can be assured, gives us the spirit of power. And in that spirit of power, there is no fear. 1 John 4:8 tells us very clearly that the Holy Ghost gives perfect love. Perfect love. And perfect love, or first love, or being in love, casts out how much fear? All fear. All fear. Praise the Lord. That's what falling in love does. Now, we know the answer to this, but as you've fallen in love with the Lord, have you become less fearful? Amen, you have. Amen? We thank God for this. It's the truth. The Holy Ghost gives us this perfect love that casts out all fear. And when we really know the passion and the perfect love that Christ has for us, we do not fear what man can do unto us. We don't. The evil can't help do what they do, except God appoints them, the wicked, to that day of evil. And that's the truth. So there's wicked players out there. I know them. They were some of my teachers and coaches and all these different things. And I could see it even as a kid. My mom would even point it out. But the one thing mom always pointed out, well, the Lord appointed that for your life. They didn't get by there. It's just like old Job. Praise God. God took the enemy and took that devil out there and said, I'll tell you what, you can go after him, but you're not going to take his life. Matter of fact, you couldn't even see this fella because I had a hedge around him, because you're so stupid and ignorant, you have no power but of me. So you make sure you understand that, even though he's such an ignorant beast. But there is a time coming, and it's coming soon. He knows he's got just a little while. All right? So God had to lift the hedge to show Job off and allowed the enemy to get at him. But what was it worth to Job at the very end? He said, oh man, mine ears had heard, but now mine eyes see. As old Job walked into glory, oh my. Someday, by the grace of God, I'm confident I'll see him sitting around that throne. And I ain't going to see his backside. I'm going to be looking at his face, because I, by the grace of God, going to be standing in the midst of that throne. I believe God for it. Amen. And I'm going to thank him for every one of that host, that cloud of witness that was around. Say, oh, brothers and sisters, did you know what God's faithfulness in your life did for me? Do you know, Sarah, your unbelief, but yet he was still abiding faithful? Do you know what that meant to me? David, your failure, your fear, but you knowing and rejoicing, praise God, that, oh, I'm his anointed, and nothing can separate me from his favor, his love. Do you know, brother, what that did for me? It gave me this crown right here. Oh, this crown of rejoicing. And they're all going to praise. They're all going to praise. Thou art worthy to give him glory. Oh, my. They're singing that song today. They're getting ready. They're rehearsing. Because the friends of the bridegroom are waiting for that voice of their friend when he calls for her. They're just attentive, sitting up there in heaven right now. They're looking at the Father. They're looking at their friend. They're looking at the Father. They're looking at their friend. I see him doing it. I'm telling you, he is that romantic. He is that a young roe heart. Yeah, he's very God, but he is so I don't mean to use this in the wrong way. He's just so cool. He's so awesome. He's so wonderful. It's just so amazing. He's so like us. He's man, very man, a very man, but very God, a very God. Mm-hmm. You need to get to know Jesus. He's amazing. Now, so the Holy Ghost, he gives us this perfect love. And when we have this perfect love, we don't fear. We don't fear what man can do unto us. We don't fear any weapon formed. Man, take that one as far as you want to go, huh? I don't fear a thing, because if he is for me, who or what could be against me? Praise God. Falling in love makes you happier, makes you more joyful. I am so thankful to be amongst those that are in love with Jesus. Amen. It's true. Wednesday night, where'd we go? We're right there at that golden altar of worship. Amen. So we could go in there. We saw that candlestick showing us that wonderful encouragement of the Holy Ghost shining right there on that table of shewbread, which is that golden table, feasting on what we're talking about today. But if you never make that move after the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost and the feeding on that golden table over there to the altar of worship, drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss him, let me tell you something. You're never going to be in love. You're going to be cold. You're going to be bitter. You're not even going to want to be in this church. And that's truth. If you love this gospel, let me tell you something. You're going to love and do anything to get in here, to love what he loves. And let me tell you something. He adores you. And he loves you. And I'll tell you what, I'm growing up to love what he loves. And I love you. And I know you love me. But that's it. It makes you happy. It makes you joyful. That's what in love does. But you can hear this gospel and you can know this gospel. But if you don't let it just ravish your heart, you can know something, you can do all that, but you'll be cold. And unfortunately, I know a lot of my brethren that are cold. Because you can know the first love. You could talk all about the first love and still not be in first love. That's truth. Daughters of Jerusalem, they knew all about the bridegroom. They sure did. Yes, they did. And all they saw was that one Shulamite that had that heart for him perfectly. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. But they didn't have it, so what finally did they do? They got critical. So you either go and you just enter into love, or you go away. And I'll tell you what, oftentimes, critical. It's the Word of God. You can't get away from it. But then, being in love, I like this one. Do you know being in love reduces physical pain? Isn't that something? Well, I believe when you're lost in love so much, maybe you don't have much room for the thoughts of pain. Huh? Come on. See, his life lives in us. And as we become more like him, you know what happens? That joy that was set before him is our joy. See, when we become more like him, that joy that was set before him, it becomes our joy. It becomes our rejoicing. And that's exactly what the scripture says. As we meditate on it, what happens is we know the purpose of our sufferings. And I've heard that it's, you suffer so good. And we do. And those sufferings are perfect. And those sufferings, praise God, are for an exceeding eternal weight of glory that is coming. Even though they are not joyous for the moment, the Word of God tells us what? They're not worthy to be compared with the glory where? That shall be revealed when? And where? In you, when we see him. I'm not feeling no pain. Praise be to God. That joy that was set before him, that's my joy. And it's all because by the grace of God we are in love. What do you think made those disciples that were all fearful, departed from Jesus when he was crucified? They were all scattered. You know that. They were all fear. fearful. That's why they were huddled in a house, shaken, and Jesus walks through that door. I'm here. I'm here. Come on, even the sisters saw, and they knew, and they told him, and they still didn't even believe. But he had to appear. I'm here. And that fear went away, and that fear, by the grace of God, and that word started working in those men. And every single one of them that were so fearful, every single one of them died a martyr. They were crucified upside down, stoned, beheaded. Understand, put in one of them brass bowls and baked. Let me tell you something. If you ain't in love, you ain't going there. Just saying. Now finally, and I think by the grace of God, oh, let us relate to this one. Being in love releases a chemical that causes you to be addicted. Well, the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what, he's released a chemical in me. I'm addicted to Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? I mean, just these things about my own natural body and what the Holy Ghost has done. I mean, we're ravished. By the grace of God, just like, again, that Shulamite running through the city. Where is he? Where is he? Such a chemical got released when that servant spoke to you at the well. You know, I've never met this guy, but I'll tell you what, I'm out of here. I'm going. That's what the Holy Ghost does. That's the mind of the Spirit. And praise God, we come into this fellowship where we're just like him. The Word of God says he cannot deny himself. Well, we're growing up, and you know what? He lives in us. And I can't deny myself either. I tell him that. That addiction, brethren, it's real. And I want us to really understand that. It's not just for the head. It's for the body, too. It's for the body. And I thank God. We've heard this over and over in this place over how many decades, that the love of Christ makes you love everybody. And I thank the Lord that I do. I thank him. I'm in love with you, brethren. I am. When you're in love with someone, you're in love with what he's in love with. And I thank God for you. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. It's what draws us in. And I do, I do. I ask you, pray, Lord, keep that fire burning. Keep that passion, praise God, that I want to come. I want to see who I'm dwelling together in marriage with. I want to be with them. And if for some reason I'm fighting against that or something's rubbing that, God, I know it's me. I know it's me. Things are going to happen. That precious Apostle Paul, I want you to think about this. Barnabas was a man full of the Holy Ghost, on fire. But something rubbed there. Something rubbed. We know there was a big disagreement. Didn't like what Paul said, how he acted, what his decision was, whatever it was. But that was God's anointed. That was God's anointed. God divinely gave that brother that message. And it didn't matter how strong Barnabas' feelings were. He went with them, and he wasn't heard from again. I saw it with Brother Hill. There are things that just, man, tough. couldn't agree with, or whatever it might be. God's anointed. It's who I've chosen. David, his son, his father-in-law even. Man, David, with the things you've done, decisions you've made, you're not our choice. That doesn't matter. And there were those mighty men, I think about them. They proved what in love was all about. They proved it. They were in love with that anointing. And by the grace of God, what we're in love with is this anointed gospel. Let it be an encouragement to us. These doors open. Be here. You don't want to be here, be here. He's met you at the well. One message. We're going. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, God. And Lord, we do. We just give you all the praise this morning. Lord, thank you again for your confirmation by your Spirit. Lord, thank you again for your gifts to the church. Lord, thank you that we are fully equipped, lacking nothing. God, thank you for the vessels that you choose. Lord, it's beautiful. You've chosen the weak. You've chosen the despised. Lord, you seek out them that no one would seek. But God, we're here, and thank you that you've called us. Thank you for this choosing. Lord, we know it's because of your grace. Lord, help us to just be a people that will respond to you with a thankfulness, God, that never ends. A thankfulness and a praise in our hearts that, Lord, that we would submit, God. And not submitting, Lord, in the things that we would think would be submitting. But to give my life over to the truth. That, Lord, that this ear that you've given me to hear would just long for, desire, and have passion, and pant to hear the truth. Lord, encourage us all, because we all need it. But for you, we're nothing. But by your Spirit, praise God, we stand and arise and rejoice with our crowns held high, thanking you, Father, thanking you for him, thanking you that you sent that Holy Ghost to meet us at the well. And Lord, we're on our way. And may it be that last hill today to see his head bobbing through the fields, running to me. Hallelujah. Oh, she's here. She's here. Lord, I thank you. And God, it's real. Thank you that we see it, because only you and by your Holy Ghost could give us that vision. And we ain't perishing. Hallelujah. We're coming to meet your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.